What? Yes. Long time. We used to sell hot dogs, and he had his famous chili. And I tell everybody when they got it, they said, "What's in it?" I said, "It's so secret, we don't even know what's in it." Of course, he did. It was awesome. I can't ever think of a time we didn't always sell out that thing when it smelled that chili. Show them your cane. It's got the U.S. flag all over it. That's cool. It stands to attention. You already passed them out. Okay. There you go. That's right. Amen. That's how I do my reading glasses, one in every vehicle, one in every room. You know, you always can't find your reading glasses, so I got one in every room. I got all over the place. That's right, fly them flags. Can you write that down, Jeannie, so we can put that in the bulletin in case somebody needs to, they can get a hold of Don. Don Sayers, DAV. Hey, right, what's that number again? Read, say that number out loud so she can write it down. Oh, 8 0 9. Did you get him, Jeannie? You get his numbers? Okay. Okay, we've been talking. Wow. 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 How many here has ever been afraid? If you have never been afraid, then you don't need to be in here tonight. Matter of fact, if you've never been afraid, you need to be in an institution somewhere. Because everybody has, it's a God-given gift. Fear is a God-given gift, but that we're just like anger. Remember, emotions are not meant to lead our lives or drive our lives. Emotions are meant to enhance our lives. Enhance. Meaning it keeps us from having a dead, dull, dry life. Amen? So let's get this thing out. Get your Bibles out. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There are healthy fears and there are unhealthy fears. And we're going to talk about nuts and bolts of fear tonight. So let's just turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Just keep your finger there. We'll get back to it in a minute. Look at your outline. Let's pray first. Father, I ask you, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way this night, Lord. We thank you, God, for what's already been done, what's already been said. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for the DAV and what they do for the veterans, Lord, and we thank you for Donna Melba, Lord, how they've been so good, Lord, over the years to help all these veterans. I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, let them continue to work for a long time, and let us, Father, continue to work for a long time for you. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Now, we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of fear. Now, we've talked about nuts and bolts of significance. We've talked about the nuts and bolts of anger. And when I was doing 2 weeks on anger, remember, I was talking about how anger has similar effects on the body as fear. But we got to differentiate between fear and anger. Fear, like anger, is a gift from God. And it's a motivational gift. Everybody remember, this motivates us. God gives us these emotions to motivate us. Remember, without emotions, life would be very sad, drab, and dangerous. So God gives us these emotions. So this is a motivational gift. Anger causes us to engage. Here's the difference. Anger, usually when God gave us anger, so that when we get angry, it helps us to engage many times in harm's way. But when it's fear causes, and it's a God-given emotion, causes us to disengage, to flee from danger out of harm's way. Healthy fear, you're crossing the street, and you're looking back and forth, and you see a car coming. Are you going to run out in front of that car? Some people do. That's right, not intentionally. That's right. If I see a snake, and this snake is coiled up right by me, and I know it's a poisonous snake, a rattlesnake, am I going to reach down and grab it? No. It's a healthy fear. God gives us this. It motivates us to disengage. It motivates us to get out of harm's way. So a healthy fear is a good thing. If you see somebody that doesn't have many fears, or matter of fact, I've seen a few people that seem like they had no fear. They're scary people to be around. They'll get you hurt. Okay? Because they do some stupid, stupid things. Okay? So now, y'all say fear is healthy. Fear is healthy. If it's a God-given fear, your emotions to disengage, it causes us to flee from danger out of harm's way. Anger and fear both have similar effects on the body. Positively, it's energy to confront problems. Remember, anger helps us engage. Fear helps us disengage. Remember that. Engage, disengage. If they get backwards, you got a problem. All right? So now, negatively, it paralyzes us, and if it's allowed to get out of control, causes more problems to the situation and to our health. And here's the nuts and bolts of fear. All right, now let me just say again, fear is a motivation, a godly, healthy fear is a motivation to flee from danger. And ignoring this gift can lead to disaster. Unfortunately, sometimes people, when they start giving in to fear, they don't realize the difference in a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. And an unhealthy fear causes a lot of problems. Matter of fact, an unhealthy fear will actually overwhelm you, and it'll bring you a bunch of negative consequences. So God doesn't want us to have unhealthy, negative fear. God wants us to have a healthy, positive fear, one that causes us to disengage at the proper time to keep us from getting hurt, or to disengage at the proper time to allow Him to move. Now, the Bible has several words for fear, and I'm just going to say healthy fear, and then we're going to talk about phobos. Now, how many know what phobos is? What is that word phobos in the Greek? What's the word we use for it now? Phobia. What is a phobia? It's an unrealistic fear. It's something that'll actually it'll cause you to be put to flight. Matter of fact, it'll talk. It's like stress. It'll either get you. It'll cause you to fight, flight, or go to fright. I mean, go to. I can't even say the word for it right now. Fight, flight, or freeze. Right? Right. Claustrophobia, fear of close places. Yeah, people that get in close places, you know, there's people that can't even go in the funeral home and look at somebody in a coffin that's got claustrophobia, because when they see the person in the coffin, they can't breathe. All right? You see them going down a narrow hallway, and they'll say, I can't go. Because getting out in a narrow hallway is an unrealistic fear. Unrealistic because you're thinking, if I get in that hallway is liable to collapse and I won't be able to breathe. So you have to watch out. So there's hydrophobia, which is not the fear of high places. Hydrophobia is the fear of water. There's all kinds of phobias, but they're always unrealistic, and they'll cause you to act out in an unrealistic way. And it'll actually cause your pulse to go up. It'll cause you to be reactive instead of proactive. A healthy fear, cause you can be proactive with a healthy fear, but you're reactive with a negative fear, an unhealthy fear. I don't want to be reactive if I can help it. I want to be proactive. Proactive, God can move and you can get something accomplished. If it's reactive, God may not be anywhere in the room. Okay? So here it is. I've only wrote down four things, and next week we'll go back in on some other things. It's very important. I want you to see this now. This is a negative. Worldly fear, or maybe let me just say a negative fear, actually opposes faith and is the result of not fully trusting God. Wow. When you think about it that way, sometimes there's things I've been afraid of that I shouldn't have been afraid of, because why if God's got this? Now, let's go ahead and read that scripture. There is no fear, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We'll just leave it right there for the moment, okay? I just want to look at this one word. That word fear there is phobia. An unrealistic, unhealthy fear. That causes you not to be proactive, but it causes you to be reactive. And as you're being reactive, it drives you, instead of you working in the problem, letting God work. Now it's you're actually being controlled by this. And the Bible says that perfect love, or complete love, or mature love, casteth out fear. And that word casteth out does not mean just push it to the side. It means it literally takes it, gives it a body slam. It just drives it out. All right? So now, because it says fear hath torment, and that word torment means a penal sentence. So fear actually is like having you, we go there, you hear us talking all the time, the lockdown. There's guys that are in general population, then there's guys that are in lockdown. They're in there by themselves, and for 23 hours they're in their little room, 8x8, for 23 hours. There, that's it. There's just one little window. There is no outside. You don't see the outside. They don't get a chance to go outside. And the Bible says fear hath torment. Unrealistic, negative phobia has torment, meaning it'll lock you down. Matter of fact, Sunday morning, if you know anybody that's been stressing out, I've been working on this for a couple of weeks now, and so Sunday morning I'm going to start it and I'm going to finish it the following week, and it's going to be called All Stressed Up and Nowhere to Go. So Sunday morning, if you know somebody that's stressed up, bring them on. Amen. All stressed up and nowhere to go. So now, this kind of fear locks you down. All right? Matthew 8:28 or Matthew 8:26, he said unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, or a perfect peaceableness. Now, what happened was, he gets in the ship, they're in the ship, he's asleep, and the waves come over while he's with them, but because he doesn't seem to care, they get afraid. Now, this word here for fear is a little different. This word here for fear is where we get the word timid, meaning you back, or you're afraid to move forward. They were afraid in the water to move forward because of this storm. And so now they're afraid, and Jesus rises up, rebukes the wind, and says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Watch it out. Mark 4:40 says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So this is some powerful stuff. Matter of fact, I put it in the Amplified version. He said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful?" Remember, I said timid, scared to move forward, push back in the back. "How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust?" And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly. This is a different kind of fear. Feared exceedingly, reverence, and said one to another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, I want you to notice something. When godly fear took over, the negative fear had to go. Think about this now. When godly fear takes over, the negative fear is cast out. So now, when you find yourself being afraid for whatever reason, ask God to show himself strong. Ask God to help you to grasp his word, and that phobia that is driving you backwards will be cast out, and you will instead worship God. It'll be a whole different ballgame. So now, first, worldly fear opposes faith and is the result of not fully trusting God. Number two, we should not be fearful of worldly things because we know and believe that God has our best interests in mind, and he will always, y'all say always, give us everything we want. Is that, whoa. That's right. He'll give you your needs. Now, some people like to say, he'll give you everything you want. Well, you know what? If he gave me everything I wanted, I'd be a spoiled child. Amen? But he takes care of my needs. You know, we were going to go on vacation Monday, but we couldn't go Monday because Gail was having open heart surgery. So we were with Gail in Greenville. Leaving out on Tuesday, we were taking the dogs. Normally we take Maddie with us on vacation, but now we got Inky. Inky's not ready for vacation. And so we're taking Maddie and Inky to the 264 at the Pamlico Animal Hospital, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to have a nice spa experience. And so as we're trying to take Inky in, I've got Maddie, Linda's got Inky. When Inky gets to the door, Inky now looks like a black cat. And when she starts her thing, Maddie goes, "Huh?" And Maddie backs right out of her. And I said, "She's not going on 264, so I dove. I didn't even think about the cement. I dove and did a bulldog on her. I just grabbed her like this. I'm laying down, tore my pants, messed up my knee, messed up both knees, got my elbow. I'm laying down there, and a woman comes and says, "Everything okay? Is everything all right?" And Inky spoke up and said, "No, it's rough." And so then they tried to put her harness on while I'm holding her, and they had her arm bent all back like this. And so Lynn and I've been this is Lynn and I've been talking about all the time. We could hear Maddie going, "Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, bro." So they fixed Maddie. And you know what? When they brought me in, they saw how bad my leg was bleeding. So I actually got treated at a vet's office. The vet came in and told the assistant what to do, and so I actually, you know what, it's faster than going to the regular doctor. Anytime you need to go to the doctor quickly, go to the vet's office. Now that stainless steel table's cold, but other than that, they went ahead and fixed me on up and let me get on out of there a whole lot faster than the regular doctor. Amen. So I said, we're not going to let this spoil our vacation, so we limped to where we were going. Come home this weekend, and in the middle of the night, we hear this boom. Then they said, did somebody just land on the roof? And I said, ugh. I went looking. There's a 12-foot. How many's got those things in your closet that are made out of? Yeah, that thing. And it's 12-foot. Everything we owned was in the floor. So on the way to go get that fixed, my air conditioner went out in my car. And you know what? I said, we're going to praise the Lord anyway. Anyhow, anyway, we're going to praise the Lord. Amen? Because God, listen, I'm not going to let fear and all this other stuff take over. You know, so I just limped around and thanked God. Amen. So when I'm at Midas yesterday in Greenville, I had to drive all the way to Greenville to find somebody to put my air conditioner on. When I got to Midas, I'm there for 2 hours. I'm thinking, this is going to be a very boring day. And I'm working on tonight, and I'm working on the counseling course I'm taking. And while I'm working on it, people come sit down, and you thought it would be a couch, a counseling couch. So for 2 hours, I ministered to people. And it was really awesome when I come out. I mean, it was really awesome. I said, well, thank you, Lord. You got this all under control. I was thinking it's a bad thing. Praise God, it's a good thing. Again, you can be afraid. It's your choice. You can be afraid, godly fear, back, be scared to move forward, or have the phobia take over. And if the phobia takes over, you're going to have an unrealistic fear. So here it is. Luke 12:32. Here's Phobos again. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, he just got through telling them, we're going to go to the other side, and along the way they hit a storm. Do you know that God never promised a flight without turbulence? But he did promise a safe landing. Amen? So now, let's go a little bit further down here. Number three. God has not sent us a spirit of bondage to fear, but a spirit of childlike trust. I've got, I got 7 grand youngins, but most of the time I have about 2 at a time. And they can come to me and they go up and they say, Paw, can we? And I was at Popeye's one day and Dylan's there. And Dylan goes, I'd like to have an apple turnover. His mama said, I don't think so. And so she said, you come sit down with me and Pawpaw's getting dinner. And I looked over her and I went. And she said. And I said, Dylan, tell that lady what you want. She says, I want an apple. Because he knew Pawpaw. We're going to take care of him. Okay? Little Emmy. Yesterday, I got a text. Daddy, can you please come over? Daniel said, Daddy, can you please come over to the house? Emmy's got a loose tooth and needs it pulled. And so they wound up coming over. And when they came over, I said, well, what's the deal with the loose tooth and getting it pulled? And she said, she didn't want anybody to pull it but Pawpaw. And once Pawpaw started pulling, she didn't want Pawpaw. But you know what? But here's the deal. They know if they got Pawpaw, he's going to take care of them. When they get scared, they just come grab around Pawpaw, and Pawpaw's going to take care of business. But you know what? We got a Heavenly Father. It says, fear not. Don't have this unrealistic fear in your life, because that's my good pleasure to take care of you when you're in Popeyes to get you that apple turnover. My good pleasure. Amen. So now, here, but he's got to give a spirit of fear, but a childlike trust. So now watch this. Childlike trust is when Emmy said, I want Pawpaw to pull it because he'll handle it right. That's Dylan going, Pawpaw going to get me that apple turnover. Or it's like Nick's two girls will go, where's Pawpaw? They always know where Pawpaw's at, because when Pawpaw's around, Pawpaw's going to take care of business. So now, guess what? That's a childlike trust. So watch this now. Bondage is a result of trusting others or trusting ourselves instead of God. We should not rely on our internal defenses alone. Now, we've got these internal defenses. Remember, these defenses are there to help you. They're here, to help you from doing something crazy like stepping out in traffic, picking up a snake, jumping over in water over your head. But if you trust on that alone, it's gonna keep others out, possibly from helping you, and it's gonna prevent us from receiving the blessings that God has for us. Trusting God sets us free from fear. Now Romans 8:15, amplified. For the spirit which you have received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, again, phobos. But you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba Father, Father. Abba Father is one of the greatest names for close intimacy in the Bible. It's like, honestly, Abba Father is like going up to God. Abba, you know what Abba means? Daddy. Wow. He says you can call God your heavenly Father. And what? Look, Daddy. It's like my youngest coming going. My grand youngest going. Paw. You know, my youngest coming going. Dad, Daddy. You know, he says you can have that close relationship with me, and I'll take care of business. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm, phobos. I will not fear or dread or be terrified or have unrealistic fear. What can man do to me? Wow. You know, there was a lady one time, she was awakened one night, she kept hearing this. Upstairs, she kept hearing this. She called the law. She said, somebody broke in my house. They're walking around. The law come up and found out what it was. The wind was blowing and there was a stick or a tree limb that had moved because of a storm, and the tree limb was hitting the glass. And once she realized what it was, now whenever she'd hear this sound, it would put her to sleep. Instead of raise her up and not let her have any sleep, now it helped her to sleep. Amen? You don't have to fear what men will do unto you. Like that woman, she heard somebody coming in her house, and she hollered out, and that person come in to rob her, to get her, the guy came in to rob her house, and actually he gave up. And they called the law, and they got him, and they went to take him out. And she was a real strong believer in God, and they said, why are we even arresting you? Why are you coming to rob her? You just gave up. He said, because she kept hollering. She had an axe and 2.38s. She was hollering, axe 2.38. He thought she had an axe and 2.38s. So he got scared and gave up. All right, number four. I'm getting toward the short rows here now. Number four, we should confront fear with the power of God, the love He has for us, and correct biblical thinking. That's the positive. How we perceive a situation in our mind determines the emotions that we experience. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, or clinging, or fawning fear, scared to move forward, always moving back. For He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline of self-control." 1 John 4:18, we're going back to this now. There is no fear in love, dread that does not exist. Remember this, fear, phobos, Unrealistic fear is dread that does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of the doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. It has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So now, let's just talk about this for just one more minute, and then we're getting ready to pray. Remember, unrealistic fear locks us down, right? Unrealistic fear is kind of like a heavy stress moment, which we're going to talk about Sunday morning. All stressed up and no place to go. But here's what the deal is now. When you realize the love God's got for you and he's going to take care of you, then you can stand anything. Amen? So now, watch this now. How do I overcome this? How do I overcome this unrealistic fear? Next week, we're going to tell some more things. I want to talk about two things right now. Two ways to overcome unrealistic fear. Number one, fear or unrealistic fear can be overcome by focusing on God instead of our problems. Focusing on God instead of our problems. You know, I find myself, whenever my focus gets shifted, I find myself in a tailspin, and I have to call it back in and get it back right. See the story in Numbers 21, they were being eaten by or bitten by deadly snakes. And so Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And he held it up and said, look at this. The snakes were still there. The snakes never left. But looking at that pole, looking at that snake, symbolizing Calvary, that snake took care of business. We've got to learn to adjust our focus. When Peter's walking on the water and Peter starts sinking, it's because he took his eyes off Jesus and paid attention to the storm. When he got his eyes back on Jesus, Jesus came picking up and they kept on going. They're right back to the boat. So number one, fear can be overcome by focusing on God instead of our problems. And number two, experiencing the love of God. Experiencing that love. Cast out fear. I did it with my boys, and I'm reliving it again with my grandchildren. When I find them out there at the ball field and they're afraid to step out to the plate or they're afraid to step out on the field, I can go get around them and I can just put my arm around them and give them a good old squeeze. I say, Pawpaw's here. Pawpaw's watching. God's watching. Hey, it's going to be okay. And I ask them, I say, what's going on, Tim? What's going on? And then I try to tell them something that they either get their mind off of it or counteract what they're feeling. And then I say, now you going out there. Papa loves you. You going out there. And then remember I told you about Sierra. She's 11. Sierra's out there, and she had struck out. DC was all to pieces. And DC said, this is a championship game. And she struck out. He says, Dad, I said, DC, calm down. And DC said, go do to her like you used to do to me. I said, okay. She said, I got it. I walked over and I put my arm around her and I said, I sure love you, Sierra. I said, you know what? You're the prettiest girl out here. I said, I want you to have some fun. Just going out there and forget all about Daddy having his little heart attack. I said, you just go out there and have fun. You know what to do. You've done it. Just have some fun, girl. Papa loves you. I gave her a little kiss on the cheek and I walked off. Her time came up to bat, and when she died, I looked at her and I winked at her and did that. And she got up and made a home run. While she's running in, I looked over at DC. DC heard what I said to her. In fact, when he heard what I said to her, he said, that's it. He said, that ain't the way you used to do me. I said, I learned better. He said, you used to tell me, get in there, son, and give it all you got. I said, well, two things, D.C. She's a girl, and this is her first year. Maybe in a couple of years we might do that. But right now, she needs to feel your love more than she needs to feel your hand. She needs to feel that love. And so I walked away, and DC going, this ain't going to work. Boom, boom. Home run. She comes running. I looked at DC, and I went, experiencing the love of God. Wow. God loves us so much. He's going to be there with us. He's going to take care of us. And I thank Him for it. Anger. We've been talking about anger. Remember, I told you we talked about anger. I said we're going to talk about fear next. Anger is there to motivate you to take care of business. Fear is there to disengage you so you don't get hurt. But unrealistic fear takes you out of the game. So let God work with you. Let's pray. If you want to come up here, you can come up here to pray at the altar, or you can pray at your seat. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about fear, and we're going to go about a little bit more things to do to help you confront fear. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. I thank you, God, that you are more than enough for our life. God, there's been many a time, Lord, that those hills get higher and higher to have to climb. And there's so many times that we just dread it. But, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we got you. You're here with us. You're taking care of business. Father, you got it all under control. Just like dealing with Paw, I want that. Can I get out of pile, Paw? Yes, you can. Let's take care of business, son. Or Emmy, Dad, Grandpa, can you take care of this tooth? But you know what? To them, that's their whole world. We've got a lot bigger things than a tooth or an apple pie. But God loves us. Trust His love. Trust His timing. Trust Him. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you do for us. For all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, now, if you go home tonight and the enemy starts telling you that you can't sleep, matter of fact, somebody comes in your house tonight, y'all just holler out Acts 2:38. You know, this morning the news was about how Texas now is allowing their teachers to carry weapons to school. The reason they said it is because in 2 seconds they can have their gun, they can protect themselves. Within 5 minutes, every school shooting within 5 minutes is over, and it takes 10 minutes for the law to get there. So the teachers have to go to a psychological evaluation, and they have to be trained. But they said it cut down on the fear in the classroom, knowing that the teachers are able to defend their children. Wow. Who'd have thought we'd come in a time where the teachers carried guns? But that's how things have gotten. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, Sunday morning, all stressed up and no place to go. Imagine they hadn't had a robbery. I imagine you do get good tips. Woo! I can't even imagine. Wow. I tell you what, it cuts down on complaints too. I seen somebody had in their desk, it was a hand grenade. And on the pin it had a number, and it said, you got a complaint, pick a number. Yeah, I think I'd leave that one alone. God's good to us. All the time. Amen. Brother Patrick, you dismiss us in prayer. Remember, Sunday morning, all stressed up, no place to go.